नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्स। हेलो, दिस इज लाल फ्रॉम पियोधम्मा.नेट। देयर इज अ रूट की फैक्टर दैट इज रियली द रूट कॉज फॉर तिलक्खन ओ अनिच्च दुख अनत्त नेचर। That is the unstable and unpredictable nature of things in this world. Nothing in this world lasts forever. Anything is destroyed at some point. Even more importantly, during their existence, all things change unpredictably. So those are the root causes of anicca nature. Now, there is another important thing, which is that we will be subjected to suffering only if we crave for those things that have this anicca nature, this unstable and unpredictable nature. Everything in one's world is included in the five aggregates or the panchakhanda. However, unless one craves for them or forms Pancha Upadana Khanda, then one will not be subjected to suffering. That is why the five aggregates are like a bottle of poison. One will be subjected to suffering only if one drinks from that bottle of poison. That is the difference between the five aggregates or the Pancha Khanda and the Pancha Upadana Khanda. The craving for the five aggregates. Suffering is built into Panchakhanda, but one will not be subjected to suffering unless one gets attached to the Panchakhanda or the five aggregates. Another important factor is that whenever we crave for those worldly things, we violate one or more of Dasakusala. And that is how we really get into trouble. This is the second key factor to keep in mind. We commit dasa akusala because we crave for things in the world. And committing dasa akusala always lead to bad karma vipaka and thus lead to suffering. When we get attached to those unstable and unpredictable things in this world, we are going to be disappointed sooner or later. When we get attached to those things, we do dasa akusala to get hold of those things. As we will see, those dasa akusala can vary from obvious immoral actions like killing and stealing to just miccha ditthi that most people don't pay much attention about. This is why we don't normally see this connection. When we understand the importance of miccha ditthi in dasakusala, we can reduce our cravings for those material things and thereby stop future suffering. The deeper aspect of miccha ditthi is actually not understanding the tilakkhana. That is what we will be focusing on in this desana. So these two factors are very important. This is the key to stop future suffering. Later in the desana, we will start discussing the yathabhuta jnana, which is the knowledge about how those unstable material things, in particular our physical bodies, come into existence. This is the third key factor. This is the connection between the previous two factors that we talked about. One actually gets to the Noble Eightfold Path by removing this deeper layer of miccha ditthi, which is the ignorance of tilakkhana. When one understands tilakkhana, one will have the yathabhuta jnana as well. So, to put it in other words, yathabhuta jnana explains how we create those unstable material things by ourselves in the first place. When we act with avijja and do dasakusala. So this is a never-ending process that feeds on itself. That is how this rebirth process continues. You may want to think about this after listening to the desana. Understanding this is one way to remove sakkaya ditti. In the next desana, we will have more information on this connection. As we discussed in the second desana, the root of the deeper meaning of anicca is stated in a single verse in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sutta delivered by the Buddha. It says, Yampichang nalabati thampi dukkhang, or suffering arises when one does not get what one wants. Of course, it's obvious to anyone that one becomes depressed when one does not get what one wants. On the other hand, many people would say that there are many instances where we do get what we wanted and thus can become happy. But the important thing about the Buddha's message is that he explained that we always end up not getting what we wanted in the long term. If you include the rebirth process, then in each and every case, we will be disappointed and be subjected to suffering because what we wanted in the first place, we do not get it. This is the deeper aspect of the Buddha's message. And when one starts understanding that, one will be able to remove sakkaya ditti. In fact, understanding this critical phase is the key to removal of all three saṅyojana that are blocking the sotapanna stage. Those three are, of course, sakkaya ditti, vichikicca, and sīlabbata parāmāsa. When one really understands the fact that craving for things in this world always lead to suffering, one realizes that there is nothing in this world that's worthwhile craving for. That is the removal of sakkaya ditti. Now, that understanding makes it clear to anyone how to respond to all these sense inputs without any hesitation. And that is the removal of vichikicca. And then one realizes that just by living a moral life, one cannot stop future suffering. And that is the removal of sīlabbata parāmāsa. You have to have that connection or the yathābhūta jñāna about how these unstable and unpredictable things come into existence in our own minds. You may want to hit the pause button and think about that. If you have listened to the previous three desanas, things may start becoming clear. So we again go to that summary statement from the first desana. If something eventually leads to suffering, even if it brings immediate happiness, that is of anicca nature. In other words, yampichang nalabati thampi dukkhang always leads to suffering. That is because in the long run, we can never get what we wanted because of the first key factor that we discussed. Anything in this world is unstable and has the viparinama nature or the tendency to change unpredictably. The five aggregates are inherently of anicca nature because of that. If we get attached to them, we will be subjected to suffering. This is why in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, right after the verse Yampichang nalabati thampi dukkhang comes the verse Sankittena pancha upadana khanda dukkha, which means cravings for the five aggregates is the cause of suffering. So today we will talk about just cravings involving the rupakkhanda or the material objects, and specifically the attachment to one's own body. This is a big part of sakkaya ditti. There are several posts on the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta in the Sutta Interpretation section. You may want to read those. So we see that our suffering has roots in the unstable and unpredictable nature of things in this world. When one fully understands this, one is said to have the yathābhūta jñāna, or the wisdom about the real nature of things. But to see that bigger picture, we need to see how our actions based on our attachment to such things lead to suffering. For that, we have to understand the laws of karma and that those are enforced not only in this life, but in future lives as well. We have talked about how a fish biting that tasty bait on a hook will be subjected to suffering without exception. In the same way, one who craves for sense pleasures will be subjected to suffering in the long term. There are no exceptions. This is the key message of the Buddha. A normal human can only see happiness in sense pleasures. The Buddha explained that there are hidden dangers in those sense pleasures. Now, this appears to be a very depressing statement, but in fact, this is the best message that anyone ever hears, because this is the key to stop future suffering. When we understand that all future suffering arises because of our cravings, we know what to do to stop that future suffering. Of course, it is not an easy thing to do. Even a Sotapanna who has comprehended this fact may have a hard time implementing it and to get to the Anagami stage. Here we need to understand that this is not merely the suffering that we are aware of, for example, due to body aches and pains and having a depressed mind. This is also about stopping unimaginable suffering in the animal or even lower realms in future rebirths. That is the most important aspect of future suffering. Okay, so now in order to set up this background, we need to take a careful look at the nature of material things that we crave so much in this world. It is impossible to get an idea about the Yathabhuta Jnana in general until we realize the true nature of our own physical bodies. A human has what is called a ghana sanya, or the perception of a solid body that he or she considers to be one's own. Now, ghana means solid or dense. There are two dangers associated with that ghana sanya. One thinks that my body is me, so one gets depressed when the body becomes subjected to all kinds of sufferings, or even when the body starts changing due to old age. The other thing is that we don't realize that this body is just a temporary shelter that we have for about, say, 100 years. That is really negligible in the time scale of the rebirth process. We need to worry much more about our mental body or the Gandhabha, and even that will change after at most a few thousand years when we switch over to another existence. For example, maybe to a Deva existence or even to an animal existence. We don't know. That is what we really need to focus on. First, we need to make sure that we will not be reborn in an apaya like in the animal realm. When we do that by getting to the Sotapanna stage, then at that point we will realize that suffering does not end until we put a stop to this whole rebirth process. So it is essential that we take a long-term view. Most of us just want to worry about getting through the day or the rest of the week. So we just go along with the rat race. Then before we even realize, we are at an old age and our brains are not functioning as well as they used to. Then it will be too late to do anything about this problem. And that is what we have been doing for a beginning that cannot be traced back to. We need to take care of this problem right now in this life. In order to get an idea about how our physical body comes to existence, let us think about how a large oak tree arises. You may notice that I use the word arise and not created or even appeared. The Pali word is udaya. Most things just don't pop up into existence. They take time to arise and get to their peak state. For example, an oak tree arises from a tiny seed. It takes years for that little bud that comes out of the seed to grow to a huge tree. Furthermore, 99.999% of the material in that huge oak tree comes from the ground. It wasn't in the seed. The tiny bud that comes out of the seed grows roots, and those roots start taking in water and all kinds of nutrients from the ground. Almost all of the oak tree was built from that material that the roots extracted from the surrounding soil. So you may want to stop and think about this for a minute. That seed basically only had the blueprint for the tree. In the same way, our essence is really the Gandhabha, or our mental body. That Gandhabha descended to our mother's womb at the moment of conception. When a Gandhabha enters a mother's womb, it has the blueprint for the physical body. So just like that tiny oak seed gave rise to a large oak tree, that Gandhabha, which cannot even be seen, has given rise to this large physical body weighing hundreds of pounds or tens of kilograms. First, it merged with a single cell formed by the union of father and mother. Then it started taking nutrients from the mother to gain a few pounds. After coming out of the mother's body, a baby would grow to a full-blown adult by eating food. So again, 99.999% of what we call me or my body is just inert food. You may want to hit the pause button and think about a little bit on this point. That is the starting point in removing the Ghana Sanya and also Sakkaya Ditti. Now we can begin to see why the knowledge about the nature of material things is called Yatha Bhuta Jnana. In reality, the essence of any living being, large or small, can be reduced to that Gandhabha, or the mental body. It can be called a bhuta, or a ghost, since it cannot be seen. In the word yatha bhuta, yatha means the real nature, and bhuta means this ghostly nature, or that cannot be really seen by anyone but a Buddha. It is at the Suddhashtaka level. This Gandhabha is at the Suddhashtaka level, which is million times smaller than an atom in modern science. So it is doubtful that science will ever get to probe that deep into the state of matter. In fact, Brahmas in Brahma realms have very fine bodies, similar to in size to that of a Gandhabha, a human Gandhabha. One would not be able to see a Brahma even with the most sophisticated instrument available today. Those bodies are of the size of a Suddhashtaka. So unless a Buddha comes to this world, we will never know about the Gandhabha or the Suddhashtaka stage of matter. Such things can only be seen by a well-purified mind of a Buddha. Now, as soon as the Gandhabha leaves the body will show its true nature. It is inert, like a piece of wood. For example, one could be having fun with some friends and the next moment may fall dead due to a heart attack. So in an instant, the Gandhabha had come out of that body and the body has become inert within a split second. Now, if we take an ant, it has a Gandhabha too. And our Gandhabha is not any larger than the Gandhabha of an ant. It is just more advanced than the Gandhabha of an ant. Of course, a human Gandhabha may become an ant Gandhabha in the next existence, and vice versa. Of course, there are much smaller microscopic creatures, smaller than ants, that we cannot even see with our eyes. These days, we can see such tiny creatures using microscopes. But their Gandhabhas are, again, the same size as ours. It is just that our Gandhabhas are more advanced. So we can get an idea of how small our Gandhabas are. If those bodybuilders who value their large bodies so much really understand that their physical bodies are actually controlled by a tiny Gandhaba, they would not be so proud of their huge bodies. And of course, those big and impressive bodies would not last very long. So that is one of the two aspects that we mentioned about the reality of nature. We have a wrong perception of Gana Sanya about our bodies, and that is why we give it so much attention. Instead, we should really give our spiritual body or the mental body, Gandhabha, much more attention and try to improve our mental body so that we don't become an ant or worse in the next life. We all like to maintain this physical body in its peak form forever. We want it to look good and we also want it to perform in its peak state. However, with old age, we will lose not only the beauty but also the performance. Some people use expensive surgical procedures to make sagging body parts firm and beautiful. However, any improvement will not last long. In the end, it all goes downhill and that cannot be stopped. Of course, an injury or sickness can make that happen even at a younger age. The more we crave and try to keep up with the failing body by artificial means, the harder it will be for the mind to deal with the realities of old age and any unexpected problems like injuries and diseases. So it is good to think about these facts ahead of the time. Now I do want to emphasize that we do need to maintain a good exercise program and also to eat healthy in order to keep the body in good condition. But we also need to keep in mind that aging of the body and its eventual death is inevitable. The worst aspect of this is the weakening of the brain. We must make progress on the noble path before the brain becomes less and less functional, or in the worst case gets something like Alzheimer's disease. We also need to keep in mind that the Gandhabha or the mental body is much more long-lasting or long-lived than the physical body. As you may remember, we get this mental body for the human bhava or the human existence, which could last thousands of years. Within that time, we will be reborn with the human body many times. Of course, we don't know whether each one of us is at the early stage of the human bhava or close to the end. This could even be the last birth as a human in this human existence. We just don't know. So we should make efforts, assuming the worst case of this being the last human birth in this human bhava. So this is one aspect of the anicca nature. We will not be able to maintain our physical body to our liking, no matter what we do. When we start comprehending that, our gana sanya will decrease. That will also help get rid of Sakkaya Ditti, which is basically the idea that we can become happy by doing whatever is needed to provide the body with sense pleasures. Now let us expand the discussion to other types of rupa in this world, other than our physical bodies. All rupa in this world are called Sankhata, because they are all put together by the mind with sun. Now Sankhata comes from two words, sun and kata, which basically means created by sun. We know that sun is a key word in Buddha Dhamma. There is a subsection at the website on sun, spelled S-A-N. Whatever comes to existence in this world lives for a certain finite time, and then undergoes decay and death after an initial prime stage. The arising of a Sankhata is called Udaya, and the destruction of a sankata is called vaya. There is a subsection on Udaya Vaya Jnana which describes in detail these processes. The Pali phrase Uppada Vayattena Anicca describes this impermanent nature of anything in this world. That phrase basically says, whatever arises in this world will be destroyed someday, or whatever arises in this world will not last forever. Now, that can be easily grasped by someone who can think long enough about it. This is why it is easier for many to easily understand the Pali term anicca as impermanence. But as we will see, that is just the start. That is just one aspect of anicca. Even to get to the full impact of the statement Uppada Vayattena Anicca, one needs to have the Udaya Vaya Jnana. So as we mentioned, it's discussed in several posts at the Udaya Vaya Jnana subsection. Let us discuss it briefly here. Any sankata actually has five stages called Udayangama, Attangama, Assada, Adinava and Nissarana. It is easier to explain with an example. A human baby is born, which is called Udayangama. Then it grows to a young age, which is called Attangama. Then it starts experiencing sense pleasures optimally around, say, 15 to 30 years of age, which is called the Assada or pleasurable stage. From that point, there will be increasing instances of body ailments in the next stage of Adinava. So after the Adinava stage, at some point the death will come, and that is called Nissarana. So these five stages are there for any sankata, which means anything in this world will undergo those five stages of Udayangama, Attangama, Assada, Adinava and Nissarana. You may want to read the post entitled Root Causes of Anicca, Five Stages of a Sankata. In another example, an apple tree arises out of an apple seed, and when it is germinated, that's called the Udayangama stage, the beginning. Then it grows to a young apple tree, and that is the Attangama stage. Then it starts providing a lot of apples, and that is called the Assada stage or the prime stage. After a few years, it starts getting old and could develop problems. That is the Adinava stage, where it provides less and less apples and will also show its old age. Finally, it will die, and that is the Nissarana stage. So anything in our world will go through those five stages. You may want to think about that. Now we get to another important point. An important aspect of anicca comes from what is called the viparinama nature of a sankata. For example, anywhere during the time from the Udayangama stage to the Nissarana stage, there can be unexpected changes in a sankata, regardless of whether it's a human, animal, plant, or a totally inert object like a house. This is called the viparinama lakkhana, or the viparinama nature of a sankata. It is not just birth, living and death. There can be a lot of unexpected changes that happen within that time, even at the Attangama or Assada stages. For example, a young child or a perfectly healthy 25-year-old in his prime can get injured or come down with a sickness. Furthermore, those non-living things that provide us with sense pleasures are also subjected to this viparinama nature. A new car can break down any time. A new house may be flooded or be burned down. As they get to their Adinava stage, such unexpected occurrences will happen more and more frequently. So we can see that not only our bodies, but also those material things that we enjoy have this viparinama nature, and that contributes to a lot of our suffering. Those include unexpected things like accidents, injuries, and diseases like cancer. But we are also subjected to suffering due to the viparinama nature associated with inert objects that we like. As we discussed, houses get flooded or destroyed in fires. Cars get damaged or destroyed in accidents, and so forth. All these lead to suffering, and that is called the viparinama dukkha, suffering associated with these unexpected changes. This is what we call the inability to maintain things to our satisfaction. That is an important aspect of the anicca nature. Either we are subjected to direct suffering like injuries or ailments, or to indirect suffering because other people or things that we value or are attached to can be faced with such unexpected problems. Impermanent nature can account for only part of the suffering. For example, when we buy a car, we know that it's not going to last forever. We fully expect to replace it in a number of years. But more suffering or stress associated with the car comes when one has to spend time and money to maintain it, especially when unexpected problems arise. It can get into an accident, or parts of it can just stop working. This is true of anything that we buy, whether it is a set of dinner plates or a house. We can also think about the suffering that people around us are experiencing due to this aspect of anicca nature, the inability to maintain things to one's satisfaction. I always think about my parents. I can remember when my parents were young, how they aged and suffered with ailments later in their lives. Now they have passed away. When I went to Sri Lanka last time, I went to see one of my teachers who taught me in middle school. I was shocked to see that he could not even recognize me. He seemed to have early stages of Alzheimer's disease. I remembered him as a young, vibrant teacher, but now I could hardly recognize him. He was old and helpless. All these examples describe the anicca nature that arises from the viparinama of a sankhata during its existence. So to summarize, uppada vayattena anicca that we discussed above is a very basic feature of impermanence associated with the sankhata, whether it's a living being or an inert object. Whatever material object that comes into being will be destroyed at some time. Now, even 100 years ago, Einstein and other scientists believed that some things like our universe are eternal. But that has been proven to be wrong by science within the last 100 years. The viparinama nature adds more suffering to that associated with the udaya and vaya of a sankhata, the unexpected changes during its existence. Now, let us address the third key point that we mentioned earlier. The connection between how our physical body arises and how it happens with abhisankhara or dasa akusala as the cause. You may want to read the post entitled Sankhara, What They Really Mean to clarify this important connection between sankhara and dasa akusala. This is an important connection that many people are not aware of. Some even do not know what sankhara really means, since the normally used English translation, mental formations, does not really convey the connection to dasa akusala and or dasa kusala. Immoral deeds or dasa akusala are done with apunyabhi sankhara or bad thoughts in our minds. Good deeds or kusala kamma are done with punyabhi sankhara. So we really need to understand what is meant by these key Pali words rather than just memorizing them. Only then we will be able to see the hidden truths. If one knows the basics, it's much easier to understand the deeper aspects. Let's take a simple example. How does a building or a house come into existence? Someone first has to think about it. That is how it gets started. Without a human planning to build a house, it will never come to existence. Planning and building a house involves Mano Sankhara, Vachi Sankhara and Kaya Sankhara. Someone first comes up with the plan, then many people talk about it and give their inputs. Then more people will actually do the work and get it built. So that is how a house or a building comes into existence. As one learns deeper Dhamma, one will begin to see that anything in this world has its origins in Sankhara. Now we can take another step and see how an animal or a deva comes into existence. As we have discussed in the section on Paticca Samuppada, the seeds are generated in our Sankhara with the steps of Avijja Paccaya Sankhara and Sankhara Paccaya Vijnana. Vijnana is the Kamma Bija or the Kamma seed created by the Javana Chitta in those Sankhara. Those who have studied Abhidhamma can learn more details in the subsection on Nama and Rupa to Nama Rupa in the Living Dhamma section. But the key idea is that Vijnana is actually the Kamma Bija that gives rise to any existence. Once a strong Vijnana is established in the Kamma Bhava, then it can give rise to an existence in one of the 31 realms, leading to jati or birth as an animal, a deva or a brahma. Apunyabhi sankhara or immoral deeds lead to births in the lower realms, the apayas, like the animal realm. Punyabhi sankhara or good deeds leads to future births in the human and higher realms. So it is important to make this connection. Our sankhara and specifically abhisankhara or strong sankhara lead to future lives based on whether they involve dasakusala or dasakusala. Those abhisankhara or thoughts, speech and bodily actions that involve dasa akusala or immoral deeds lead to births in the lower realms. Those abhisankhara or thoughts, speech and bodily actions that involve dasa kusala or moral deeds or good deeds leads to births in the human and higher realms. So let me repeat to emphasize this key point. Those abhisankhara that we generate in this life become seeds for future lives. Each individual and not a higher being determines his or her own future. So if we do immoral things with the mindset to do whatever it takes to satisfy the bodily cravings and desires, that will lead to future suffering. That is not any different from the fate of a fish who bites that tasty bait on a hook. By the way, even though Punyabhi Sankhara or good deeds will also continue the rebirth process, we must do those in order to avoid rebirths in the apayas or the lower realms, and also to set the background to cultivate the noble path. One cannot practice the noble path unless one is born human or at a higher realm. As we have discussed, Gandhabbas are involved only in the human and animal realms. In all other realms, fully formed living beings appear. But most of those beings have very fine bodies that we cannot even see. For example, in Deva realms, fully formed Devas with very fine bodies are formed at the Chuti Patisandhi moment. And those bodies last until that karmic energy for that bhava runs out. It is said that 60 Devas were in an area of the size of a hole in a needle when a large number of Devas came to listen to the Saccha Vibhanga Sutta delivered by Venerable Sariputta. We cannot even imagine such small bodies because we are so used to these heavy and large bodies of humans and animals. Of course, the bodies of Brahmas are even finer, similar to our Gandhabha bodies, with just a few Suddhashtaka. Those heavy bodies that we see in human and animal realms are all made up of inert matter. as we discussed earlier. The blueprint for that body is in the Gandhabha or the mental body. And a given physical body arises in time to its full form by taking in food and water. So the bottom line is that what really matters is the mental body that is formed at the chuti patisandhi moment. These bodies are extremely small and cannot be seen with our eyes or even with sophisticated scientific instruments. That is why they are called bhuta. So this is essentially the yatha bhuta jnana, how those fine bodies arise due to kusala and akusala. They arise due to rules in the paticca samuppada or pati iccha leading to sama uppada. So you may want to read the section on paticca samuppada. As we have discussed in that section, when we make abhisankara with iccha, that is the pati iccha process, then it leads to sama uppada or births according to that abhisankara. As we discussed in the previous desanas, what matters really is not what one likes or what one wishes for, but how that wish connects with the dasa akusala or dasa kusala. You may want to go back and listen to the second desana. I think that is in the second desana that we discussed this point. What we discussed briefly above is explained in detail in the paticca samuppada section at the website. Then there are more paticca samuppada cycles that explain how non-living things like trees come into existence. But we don't need to discuss those at this time. Therefore, the basic idea that we discussed can be expanded to all rupa. And it can be shown that all rupa have our sankhara and vijnana as the root cause. This of course gets a bit more complex when we address non-living rupa like trees or mountains. But that discussion is not needed to remove sakkaya ditthi to attain the sotapanna stage. Anything that arises due to sankhara are called sankhata. Sankhata basically means prepared with sun. We know from the section on sun that sun means lobha, dosa, moha, and also alobha, adosa, and amoha. Now if one spends some time contemplating this, one would be able to make a deep connection. This is why sun is such a key word in Buddha Dhamma. So I hope that it is clear that our mental body or Gandhabha is a sankhata too. It arises due to abhisankara generated in our minds. Our physical eyes, ears, tongue, nose and the body arise due to that Gandhabha. So it is easy to see that all our internal rupa, including our living body, are all sankhata. So realizing this real nature is called the yathabhuta jnana, or the wisdom about the real nature of how things come into existence. Yatha means the actual nature and bhuta means the early stage of material things. Bhuta actually means a ghost in Pali or Sinhala. The reason that initial stage of a sankhata that arises due to javana power of a chitta is called a bhuta because it is negligibly small and can never be seen. This is explained in the post Bhuta and Yathabhuta. What do they really mean? Yathabhuta jnana is the knowledge about how sankhata come in existence via sankhara or our conscious thoughts. Not just any thoughts, but thoughts with high javana power. So you may want to think about this idea, and if you have any questions, we can discuss at the discussion forum. So this is a real simple explanation of the yathabhuta jnana, or the real nature of our bodies. It is really at the vijnana stage that one's gati are condensed into the bhuta stage, which in turn gets more condensed to the dhatu stage that we can see. That is the origin of the term yathabhuta. At the end of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha declared that he had finally discovered the yathabhuta jnana. After the first desana, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha made the connection between the Yathabhuta Jnana to the concepts of Tilakkana, Anicca Dukkha Anatta, in the second Desana, which is the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So as you can see, I prepared this set of Desanas around those two suttas, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Those were the two suttas that the Buddha delivered to the five ascetics right after enlightenment. They all attained the Sotapanna stage with the first sutta, which was discussed for 5 days. So you can see that the sutta in the Tipitaka is very highly condensed. It's only a few pages. Each sutta needs to be discussed in detail. There is a subsection on the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta in the Sutta Interpretation section at the website. Then on the sixth day, I believe, the Buddha delivered the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta and all five of them attained the Arahanthood. Now, I know that different people with different backgrounds will find this set of desanas to be fairly simple or not so simple. Some people may find them difficult mainly because of the use of Pali words. But it is essential to learn Pali words because there are no equivalent English words in most cases. Now, this is just the framework that I had in mind to set up the key ideas with a new approach. It can be expanded to simplify further, or we can go to deeper levels and discuss and clarify concepts, these concepts with more suttas or with Abhidhamma. So I hope there will be questions at the discussion forum. Please don't hesitate to ask questions, assuming that they are too simple. My emphasis is always on simple and fundamental aspects. Without a good understanding of the basic and fundamental concepts, it is not possible to comprehend deeper aspects. Each concept that we discussed can be made even more simpler or much deeper. This is just a starting point for the discussions. Each Deshana is a discussion topic at the discussion forum under the forum entitled Three Marks of Existence Discourses. So I'll be wrapping up this set of Desanas with the next one. That will be at the deepest level, and it is possible that only a few people will be able to fully comprehend that one. If one has comprehended the material in the previous Desanas, it will be easier to understand the latter ones. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha be with you always.